It's time to get out and explore.
Melissa in the Morning brings you science you may not know on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Smart bird feeders. I didn't even know those existed, but we're going to learn about them and what they are telling us about urban green spaces right here in our communities. David Mestre actually installed a bird feeder at a community center on the east side of Bridgeport, and I can't wait to hear about what a smart bird feeder even is and what he found since installing it. Hey, David, welcome back.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. What is a smart bird feeder? What are you talking about?
Yeah, no. So a smart bird feeder is actually, imagine a regular bird feeder that you can put around the house or in your backyard, but it comes with a camera, kind of like a doorbell or Ring camera.
Oh, okay, like a GoPro.
Exactly. Yeah.
A bird GoPro. Gotcha.
Yeah, like a bird GoPro. So, but this is a smart GoPro. So basically, what happens is that the camera is actually connected to the internet. And it works with a service and an app. And when a bird visitor comes to munch on your bird seed at your bird feeder, the bird camera actually captures an image of your bird and uses, get this, artificial intelligence to identify the bird that's at your bird feeder.
Wait, this is so cool. And then where does that information go? Do you get it on your, like, an app or something?
Yeah, yeah. Like, so imagine, like, I'm just walking around.
I want one. This is so cool.
They're really cool. So the brand that we have is called a Bird Buddy, and we have a Bird Buddy feeder. And with my app, I get a notification that says, hey, you've got a visitor at your bird feeder. And so I would basically look at my phone, and I would see a picture of the bird or the birds that are munching away at my bird seed.
Now, is it only photo, or can you also see video?
Yeah, you can actually see video.
Oh, I would love that.
And, of course, if you pay a little bit more, you can get a high-definition video that's got a little microphone. So there's a lot of information that actually comes out of just taking this picture. You can actually send this picture off to other friends if you wanted to, and you can show people, hey, this is the bird that I saw at my bird feeder. And so those are some of the things that the bird feeder can do. And so Bird Buddy is one of the brands of bird feeders or smart bird feeders. There are others that you can purchase, but they all kind of function in the same way. They take a picture of a bird. They use artificial intelligence to try to identify the type of bird that you have, and then it notifies you that you've got a visitor, and it tells you what kind of visitor you have.
Okay, so without even checking prices, because I haven't done that yet, and I don't know how expensive this is, but if this is affordable, this just became one of the best gift ideas for so many Connecticut residents. Like, immediately at the top of my head, my mother has become a huge bird enthusiast. She's obsessed with the birds in the backyard. The other one is my brother-in-law. He literally will stop in the middle of us doing anything. I mean, anything. We could be jet skiing. Not that I've ever jet skied in my life, but we could be doing something, you know, radical, crazy. Whoa, oh my gosh. And he will stop to make sure we all know that he is going to identify the bird he sees in the sky. And we all think, Jake, what is your life? It's unbelievable. I mean, right away, those two stood out to me, and I need to get him some kind of smart bird feeder. I didn't even know this existed. So this is
so
cool.
Yeah. So what's really cool about this, though, is that it allows you to actually kind of, you know, understand a little bit about the kinds of birds that are actually around you.
Yeah.
In the spaces that you put the bird feeder in. So we're on the east side of Bridgeport, our community center, Hall Neighborhood House. And we decide, hey, listen, we could do some science here. And so we install our smart bird feeder. And, you know, when we installed it, we connected it to the internet. It's a little work to do this. And first day, when we see our first bird munching away at our bird seed, it was really exciting. And it identified it as a house sparrow.
Oh, that's sweet.
So cute. Then, you know, a couple days later, we get another bird. It's a house sparrow. And
why do I feel like you're going to get a lot of house sparrows?
We're
going to
get it. You are absolutely right. We have just seen practically only house sparrows on our bird feeder.
How long has it been out there?
What's that?
How long has it been out there, David?
We've had it for probably I want to say about 2 months. So we've installed it about two months ago.
House sparrows? What's going
only
on?
House, yeah. So that's yeah. That and so this is where the scientist in me was like, wait a second. Why am I only seeing house sparrows?
Yeah.
So I had to kind of figure this out. So it turns out that there are a number of reasons why I'm probably just seeing house sparrows. So first off, there is actually a connection between the amount of urban green space and foliage that's around me and the richness or the number of species that I might be able to see. And so scientists and ornithologists, they go out and they actually study, you know, how many species would you see in these spaces? And do you see more? Do you see less? What are the connections between what we think of as green spaces and bird diversity? And so what it turns out is that, Cornell University, they actually have a lab that does this. They have a Cornell Ornithology Lab. So they are the bird people of New York, and they study birds and these connections between urban green spaces and birds. And they found that if you can just increase the area of a green space, even by 50%, if you increase the area of a green space by about 50%, you'll even get about an 11.5% increase in bird species and bird
really?
Diversity.
Really? But how do you increase green space? Like when you say that, David Mestre, what do you mean by increasing your green space?
Yeah, and that means urban planning. And so what that really means is that if you're in a community and you have this metric of birds that are coming to your bird feeder, and you notice that, well, we don't really see a lot of different types of species. That tells us that maybe we just don't have enough green space or urban parks to be able to attract different types of birds. And so this becomes sort of like an argument, like, hey, listen, we need more trees, or maybe we need more parks, or maybe we need different types of parks. So it turns out, like, if you have a park that's like maybe 50 feet long, but it's only like, you know, 10 feet wide, that bird, you know, is anywhere between like, you know, probably like about like 5 feet away from a sidewalk or 5 feet away from
I
from,
see. So you're
from
creating
the urban area. So you need to give it more space. And for migratory birds, you need more tree cover too. And
sure.
Sometimes your parks may need to have water sources to attract different types of migratory birds that need water for them. For their migration.
But do you need it just like more green space in where? So, for example, you're saying you put this smart bird feeder in a certain area. Mm-hmm. But do you need surrounding area to be more green or just where you have it? So, for example, if you've got like a small yard or something in Bridgeport and okay, so we're going to add more plant life. We're going to, you know, we're going to ask our neighbors. I don't know. I'm just making something up. But do you need to have like surrounding area? Like, do you need to have in your neighborhood more green space or is it just the immediate area? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so those lead to some really interesting questions. So one thing that happens with these kinds of green spaces is you have to make like kind of trade-offs between green spaces that have native species and some green spaces that have like non-native species. So
mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of look at, you know, what kinds of trees do I put here or what kind of plants do I put here?
Right.
So
which
those
ones
are
will thrive in Connecticut climate and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So those are things that you kind of have to kind of make decisions on. The upshot though is that, you know, the science kind of says that there are lots of different complex connections between green spaces, type of green spaces, type of trees, all that, and the kind of birds, and it's still kind of messy to really kind of untangle. But what most of the science says is the more green space you have, the more tree cover you have, and the space being like not just people's backyards, but an actual space like a park
right.
that is just dedicated green space, no houses, no urban development, nothing
right.
like that. So it has to be contiguous. It has to be connected. So the bigger that space is, the more kinds of species you would see. So that's the thing. Like, for example,
goal.
Like in New York City, it's striking for a city the size of New York to have in the very center of Manhattan a giant park like Central Park.
Right, right.
And that, you know, the kind of biodiversity that you see in a park like that would have been vastly different if the urban planners decided that all should be streets.
So we have David Mestre here for a couple more minutes of Science You May Not Know. And David just told us about how a couple months ago he installed a bird feeder, a smart bird feeder, at a community center right on the east side of Bridgeport. And it uses AI. It's able to capture images and video of any birds that land on this bird feeder and they start eating. And what's interesting is David noticed that day after day, week after week, the same bird kept landing there, and it was a house sparrow. And when we were talking about why we're not seeing different species, he just outlined for us a few minutes ago why it seems to be that a lot of birds are maybe not attracted if you don't have a lot of green space in urban areas. But what I do find interesting here, David, is a sparrow is still a bird. And I would think any bird wants green space. Did sparrows have to adapt to more urban, non-green spaces, or have they always been that way? What did you find with this type of species? I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, so one of the things that happens, when a habitat changes or when an environment changes, is that, species have to adapt. Mm. And so what we may be seeing is that some species have adapted better to the change in our, the urban environments than other species. I mean, say, for example, if you look at the time period between 1982 and 1997, we took about 10 million acres of land and developed it.
Wow. That's significant. It's a lot of land.
That's a lot of land.
It's a lot of land.
And we're continuing to do so. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is that this puts added pressures on different types of species.
Sure.
That are, that they're
relying
adapted.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that they're adapted to these kinds of environments. And when we start to significantly change these environments, we put these kinds of pressures on these species. But then there are some species that they just kind of roll with these punches. So for example, you see squirrels, they've adapted to living in the urban environment. You see the sparrows have adapted to living in the urban environment, but maybe other types of birds, are having these pressures added to them. Migratory birds. So if you have a migratory bird, they need expanses of land in order for them to rest. Now, we can help. One thing that we can do is, we could make a case in our communities for more urban green spaces. And it's not just small brush and flowers and planters. So we're talking about real trees, like actual real trees that provide cover for these kinds of for these birds. Water sources for different types of migratory birds, because they need places to kind of rest. But you can go to places like the Cornell Ornithology Lab site, and they may tell you, hey, if you live in this area, if you plant these types of plants in your backyard, you might make your backyard kind of attractive to special kinds of birds
that's
that might
amazing.
Be migrating. And so, this adds to the idea that you as a community, people can actually help our birds. You can be a bird counter, and so you can actually, get an app, eBird or other websites that you can add your observations of birds. So if you've got a brother that's a bird watcher, that information is important, and we need to capture that information. And there's actually a in that website with the Cornell Lab, birds.cornell.edu, there's the Project Feeder Watch. And so you can actually use your bird feeder, and it gives you ways for you to kind of change up the food in your bird feeder to attract different types of birds, to see if you can count those birds, because maybe they're not attracted to the seed that you have there. Maybe they need different types of food. And so that may be something that maybe my bird feeder just has, just simple bird seed that I bought at a store. Maybe I need different types of seeds or different types of food to be able to attract different types of birds. But I also know that my sparrows are pretty tough. They do fight a lot. They're kind of like messy eaters. And if another bird tries to come close to the bird feeder, they just kind of they kind of shoo them.
Yeah, you don't mess around.
No,
you don't mess around with the sparrows. Listen, no way. They know what they're doing, and they adapt. I just think this is really quite fascinating. I don't know. This one, I'm giving this one to the birds. I don't know. I really want to get one of these. Like I said, I haven't checked the prices on them, but I would imagine they're, with cameras and stuff, you've got to be talking like,
$200,
$300, I would think.
Roughly around that, yeah. And I think even, you know, depending on the accessories you get. But we've been talking to a couple of teachers in the city of Bridgeport, and they're really excited because they'd love to put a bird feeder in their school and see.
So that's what I tell you, David, you and I, at some point in our next life, should just, like, go into business together because we have the same brain sometimes. That's where my brain was going. So after the immediate, oh, my gosh, my family, because, you know, family comes first, I'm thinking to myself, all right, I could see this as a gift. But then I'm thinking bigger. I'm thinking, wait a second, it would be really neat for, I mean, can you imagine, David, picture this, if schools were able to do a whole year of data or something and mm-hmm. look at maybe doing experiments, like at the elementary school level, doing experiments, and then at the end of the school year, having the kids pitch to, you know, to lawmakers, you know, why we need more green space here. I just think this would be so beneficial to kids. It's the type of learning that sticks in their mind, but also can really benefit our state. I mean, and who's going to say no to kids?
And the best thing is that we're empowering kids to be change agents in their community.
Exactly.
And we're giving them the kind data of learning.
Exactly. I just think it's a great combination of science, but also something that they can relate to, which is technology. I mean, and being able to share those photos. And I just think, you know, you could share that information with family all over or friends. I don't know, David. I think if there was an affordable way, or if there was like a grant program that would have these types of bird feeders and you could rotate them, you know, like one school in the district, then another school. I don't know.
Maybe a listener out there decides I will buy a bird feeder and give it to my school. And
that's a
good
idea.
If there are enough schools that do that, you know, maybe we can have a coordinated effort to say, hey, listen, we need more trees. We need more spaces. And then that helps kids to understand that, you know, they actually have a voice, too.
Yeah.
And they're giving a voice to the birds.
Exactly. I just think there's so much potential here. I love that you decided to install this in Bridgeport and what you found from it. And like I said, it's got the wheels turning in my head. I don't know. I'm thinking we need to do some kind of either fundraiser or something to be able to afford if you want to have it in your community at your schools. I just think this would be so neat for kids. I'm not done with this story, David, so thank you. Now you got the wheels turning.
We're such bird brains.
I know. Right? Oh, there you go. That was a way better pun than what I had before. Mine was dumb. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, we're going to take off now. There you go.
There we go.
All right. We're going to take off, and we will check in with you again next week. David Mestre, thank you so much for this topic.
You're welcome. Take care.
So neat. I tell you.
Oh, look at this. I got another sparrow.
Hi, Sparrow. We love you here on WICC. We'll see if we can expand and see if the next time we talk to David, if he gets a new species. We'll see.
Oh, man.
We'll see.
Just a blue jay. Just throw me a bone.
Oh, that'd be so cool. That'd be so cool. I'll pray for that. David Mestre of Science You May Not Know, thank you so much. We'll check in with David again next week here on WICC.